Week two of the high school football season is upon us. Coaches talk all the time about the improvement from week one to week two. Will we see that? We certainly have some tests for our local teams tomorrow night. Glad you're along for the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders as we get things started in Livingston, where the Wildcats have one of the rivalry games of Friday night. Bruce Lamb and his Livingston Academy Wildcats, fresh off the win over Westmoreland, set to take on Cookeville.
Everybody loves football. Everybody loves football, no matter what it is and what school you're at. And having a rivalry that we're so close, we're 20 miles apart, and, you know, we're the smaller school, they're the bigger school. And it has all the ingredients for a great rivalry.
Speaking of Cookeville, they have a quarterback in Stockton Owen who's a great dual-threat player. He used his legs a lot Friday night, some design runs, some improvised runs. How are you looking to slow him down and not let him beat you just with his legs?
Well, I don't know if we can slow him down. I just think that we can hopefully contain him and do what we can against him. Excellent, excellent football player. He, you know, like you say, runs really well, throws well. You know, it doesn't look like this is the first time he's ever behind center after the game the other night, but he'll be tough to stop.
Obviously, you and Upperman are a lot different offensively, but they never really were able to get things going in the passing game, and that worked out for them. But looking at your team, you guys are really advanced passing with Will McDonald and some of the weapons you have on the outside. So what is a key for you in the game Friday night and getting the passing game going early?
Well, the big thing is, you know, to get anything going, you've got to make sure that if you're going, you know, if you're looking to throw the ball, you got to make sure you're able to run it. And if you can run the ball, it's going to loosen up your defense for the pass. So, and it works vice versa. It works both ways. If we want to run the ball, we got to loosen the defense up by throwing the ball. So, you know, it's that's the only thing we're looking for. We're going to see if we're going to be balanced and hopefully we can move the ball and it's make first downs, and first downs leads to touchdowns.
Well, last week you spent the whole week and probably a good part of your preseason game planning to stop the wing tee. So now you face that week's come and gone. How is it getting back to playing more of a modern style of football?
Well, one of these Cookeville is really tough because they have so many formations that we have to get ready for, prepare for, and they try to keep moving people around until they get you to be in the defense they want you in. So, you know, it's always tough going back to that, but we see it every day when we run against our own offense. So hopefully everything will work out.
Would you rather face a wing tee week one of the season? That way you might not have to face it again the rest of the year and you can spend a little extra time, as opposed to having to face it mid-season where you practice against normal offense all year and then you have to change up and go towards, you know, that wing tee set.
Well, if I preferred, I would rather not face it at all, period. You know, but, you know, sometimes that don't work out. But, yeah, definitely the first year. Because, you like you say, most people are going to be spread out more offense with the different sets and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you can continue to work against that because you don't see the wing tee very much. So, definitely I'd rather work that against it first year.
And speaking of your week one matchup, I mean, you guys just shut them down on defense. A shutout for all rights and purposes. They got recorded a safety against you guys, but your defense didn't allow that. So what a great night it was for your defense, practicing that eye control and that discipline.
We did. And we had kind of a rough first half. And it was, I don't know if it was jitters or if it was just you know, it's not doing our assignments, playing a little individual ball. I don't know for sure, but, you know, we had a little halftime speech and then talked about different things and corrected a few things up on the board. And, you know, second half, I think we got them to negative yards. So, you know, we were tickled to death of how our defense played all that long, very aggressive, very physical, and that's what we wanted to do.
Lamb says he knows Cookeville will be hungry for a win Friday night. He hopes his veteran team can rise to the challenge. The Mark Frazier era began with a win Friday night as White County beat Cannon County. Frazier says watching the excitement of his seniors who had not won in a long time was the best part of the night.
To be honest with you, that was a good football game, a tough football team. Cannon County played well. It was a smash-mouth game. just excited to get out of there with a win. And after the game, you know, you see the kids, the excitement of getting the win. Several of those seniors had played a lot of games without experiencing a victory, so that was exciting to see their excitement after the game was over.
Talking about Cannon County, last week you were concerned about their quarterback. He was dynamic. You were worried about keeping him contained. How did you guys do that throughout the game?
Well, he did make some big plays. He threw a great pass there, and we blew a coverage, and he hit the guy perfectly to score their first score on their first drive. So we were down 6-0, and he did some other things, too. He's a good runner. And to be honest with you, up front, they were very physical. I felt like we need to get a little better on our physicality on our defensive front and at linebacker position, and they sprung him a few times, but ended up making enough plays to keep it under control and get the victory. So.
And on offense, Will Griggs and Jaden Richmond had big nights running the ball. I'm assuming you're looking to use them in bigger capacities as the year goes on.
But both those guys had very good games. And to be honest with you, offensive line played a great game. It was 3 yards here and 5 yards there, and not a lot of big plays, grind them out type football game, but both running backs stuck their nose in there and fell forward at times whenever they didn't have holes, and then offensive line gave them some good looks other times. So I was proud of both those kids.
How important and vital is it for you guys to have two running backs that you know you can use interchangeably? You can put them in there at any time throughout the night, and there's not really a big drop-off from one to the other.
It's big, you know, especially on the part of Griggs. He plays a lot of defense as well, so it helps to keep those guys fresh. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, we're going to need them both fresh for some of the games we've got coming up. So
you're going to Cumberland County this Friday, hoping to extend this win streak to two and get another win streak going of your own. How do they look so far early in the week?
Well, they had a rough week last week, but when you watch them on film, they're big. They're strong. We're going to have a tough test. We've got to go up there and play physical and do a better job than we did last week, being physical on the defensive line, especially to have any shot to win that game. So it'll be a good test. They got a new young coach, got a lot of excitement with the program, so we're excited about the challenge.
And they really look to use their quarterback. Coach Ballou up there talks a lot about putting the ball in his hands and making him make the plays. How are you going to try to contain him, much like you had to do last week against Cannon County?
Well, it's a team defense thing. We've got to play good team defense, not just this week, but, you know, every week. Not only do they have some good players, there's some other players down the line that we're going to face. And if we don't work together as a unit, it just won't be – we won't be successful. So we've got to continue to do that, all 11 guys run into the football. And if we do that, we've got a chance. So that's what we're stressing this week, is about defensive, you know, complete team defense. So.
And offensively, coming up against Cumberland County, you know, talked about Griggs and Richmond a little bit, but are you going to continue to really be a run-heavy offense and run just right at people, and or are you going to try to open it up and pass a little more? Is this just going to be a week-to-week thing?
Well, it'll be a week-to-week thing. Hey, you know, I'd love to throw 7 80-yard touchdown bombs. That'd be fun too. So if it's available, we would, you know, we'll do it. We want to be more balanced. I do think though that our identity is going to be running the football, but we've got a quarterback. We've actually got two quarterbacks that can throw it. We've got to gain a little confidence there and make the throws when they're available. We had a couple of chances, I thought, Friday night to hit a couple of throws, and we just didn't connect with them. So those guys have got to step up a little bit at the quarterback position to be able to throw it a little bit. But we want to be more balanced, and we want to throw it a little more. But like I said, I think when it comes down to it, our identity is going to be on the ground.
Too many mistakes for the DeKalb County Tigers a week ago. What have they cleaned up in practice? That, as the high school playbook continues, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Don't forget, get a complete preview of all the action across the Upper Cumberland at ucsportsnation.com. The schedule no easier for Steve Trapp and the Tigers. DeKalb County on the road to Upperman Friday night.
Good athlete, you know, got a lot of experience, plays equally as well on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, up until the last drive of last week's game, I mean, I felt our defense had done pretty well. It was our offense that kind of let everything down and put Warren County in great positions to be able to score. And their defense actually scored twice on our offense. So, I thought we did a pretty good job. Like I said, they only had 126 yards rushing and 70 of it come on the very last drive. So, but he's definitely got our attention, as does their whole team. Coach King does a great job up there. It's a very disciplined football team. They do things the right way, don't make a whole lot of mistakes. So you've almost got to be perfect to be in the game with those guys.
And Upperman has a really solid front seven. They had a huge stand at the end of the game Saturday night against Cookeville. What are you going to do on offense to move the ball against a really talented defense?
Well, we just got to make sure that we're doing the right things. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway from last week's game is just going back and, you know, seeing it on Friday night, but then going back and watching the film and just seeing the opportunities that was there and then the lack of execution. You know, so falls back on the coaching staff to make sure that we get these guys coached up and understanding what they need to do on the field. And when you play a team like Upperman, I mean, that you have to execute. And even when you do it perfectly, it's still not going to be easy because, like I said, they're very disciplined, well-coached, and hard-nosed. So we understand what's in front of us. I also know the capabilities of our guys, but mentally, that was the biggest take going into the game last week. Would our mental effort match our physical effort? I like the makeup of our team. I like the ability of our team. Like I said, we just all got to get on the same page and do the right things.
Coach, on any level of football, if you turn the ball over seven times, you're going to have a hard time to win. But somehow you guys were down 21-0 at halftime, and you battle back to get it to 21-21. What a resilient effort for your guys to bring that score back and have it knotted up.
And definitely, and that's the big positive that we're taking from that game. You know, I just told them how proud I was of, you know, their desire to come back out after halftime and play football a whole lot better than they did in the first half. I know a lot of teams, 21-0 at halftime, just come out and try to get the game over and go to the house, but our guys didn't do that. It was 21-21 with a minute and 15 seconds left to go in the game. You know, I'm over there thinking about overtime strategy and my no-huddle strategy to get the ball back with 40 seconds and things like that. And, you know, they hit one big play all night. It just so happened it was right there at the end of the game. And then the very last play of the game, we try something a little tricky to try to get a score, and they pick it off and run it back for a touchdown. So the two-touchdown lead they had on, if I can say it, in, you know, with a minute 15 left to go, it was a tie ball game. And we have battled back and played a whole lot better. And, you know, we just got to start from the get-go. Like I said, learn from all the things that we messed up last week, you know, coach and staff all the way down to the players, and just try to be better this week.
Coach, your quarterback threw six interceptions. I haven't watched the film. I know all the time an interception is not all the time on the quarterback, but how are you looking to build his confidence this week and believing in him? I know part of your answer is probably going to be the second half that y'all came out and played, but what are you going to do to build his confidence and get the offense back on track?
Well, my quarterback didn't throw all of those. I mean, my backup guy come in, he threw one, and then like I said, the last play of the game was a halfback pass of some sort, and that got picked off, so that wasn't all on my quarterback. But he did have his share in him. I mean, because he also fumbled twice, and one of those fumbles was taken back for a touchdown. So, yeah, he definitely needs to do a better job of protecting the offense and protecting the team and protecting the football. Like I said, ultimately there were opportunities there for the ball to go different places, and, you know, those things wasn't done correct, but he still made the choice to throw those footballs after those things were done incorrectly. So, you know, we've had discussions about that. You know, we want competition at all areas, and we want to make sure that we're getting better each and every day and each and every week. You know, so we're going to see how our team respond, and especially our quarterback.
And, Coach, last question here. Up front, again, talking about how big you are with your size, is the run game something coming up against Upperman that you're going to lean on maybe with some ball control issues?
Well, I mean, we definitely want to be able to run the football. I mean, last week, probably the most productive guy that we could have on the field for offense and defense didn't even play, and that's David Bradford, my running back and linebacker. It's kind of a game-time decision, you know, just felt like we wanted to make sure that he's healthy down the stretch instead of trying to push it. So, then we were left, very lean in the running back department, you know, so that dictated a little bit of what we were doing, and but still the opportunities was there. But like I said, with the makeup of this team and how I've talked all summer and all preseason about them, some of that kind of got left out last week. But that's definitely something that we want to be able to hang our hat on to build our passing game off that, and then also be able to run the ball off our passing game. We feel like we can do it either way, but, you know, we need all guys, you know, fully healthy so that it makes it easier for us.
Crabb says getting healthy and establishing the team's run game, keys to tomorrow night's game at Upperman. Scott Hughes and his staff may not have depth or numbers, but they do have depth in versatility. Most Monterey football players play between two and four positions for the Wildcats.
We build depth through depth. That's just the nature of the beast at a single-A school. I mean, when you go and you look at the vast majority of single-A teams, I would say probably across the state of Tennessee, are going to be in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 young men on their teams. You know, it's just one of those things that at small schools, it's one of the battles that everybody fights across the board. And so when we talk about building depth through depth, we start in the off season, you know, trying to teach young men how to play multiple positions. And that's the key for us, is being very versatile and being able to play anywhere between two and four positions. I mean, we have some guys that honestly could step on the field at as many as four or five positions based on what we needed in that night.
So, Coach, some of the guys that played several positions for you are Mason Bowman and Anthony Soberinas. They combined, though, for over 200 yards rushing and three touchdowns. They really had a solid night.
They did, and they're two great young men. Very, very proud of both of them, not only on the field, but both of those young men exemplify everything that we talk about daily as far as their character and their work ethic and leadership. They're guys that not only exemplify that, though, in our football program, but they do it in the hallways. They do it outside of school. They're guys that you build around. They're guys that become the face of your program. And then what you see on Friday night is also what you get Monday through Thursday in practice. And just a true blessing to have both of those young men in our program.
You being an old offensive lineman, you'll appreciate this question. I know, you know, they couldn't rush for those kind of yards and put up those numbers without some great plays play up front. How did your offensive line grade out Friday night against Soak Creek?
Graded out pretty well, and you know, we had a sophomore starting at right tackle and was very pleased with him. And he grew up a bunch through the preseason and accepted the challenge to take that role. And then we're in a situation this year where we had some guys returning finally that had played a lot of football in those positions and had played a lot of games up front and been a part of some tough games, some tough losses, but also some big wins in their high school career. And so those guys have accepted the challenge and become leaders, you know, daily in practice, daily in film study, understanding how to play. And it's just the knowledge of the game at this point. You know, when you know, those guys were starting as freshmen and sophomores, it's one of those things that was schematically very limited, just to make sure that we gave them the greatest opportunity for success, because they were physically limited at that time, starting a football game as a 14-year-old offensive lineman. Tough challenge. And, you know, it doesn't matter what level. If you're starting as a freshman, always a tough challenge. And so now we've got to the point where we're a little bit older with some juniors and seniors, and we're able to schematically do a couple other things to give those guys a greater chance for success.
Coach, defensively, I think you were a little worried last week about the size of Soak Creek up front, but you really held them in check all night. Really didn't give them a lot of running room, a lot of alleys, and kept their quarterbacks in the pocket for most of the night. Were you pleased with that effort?
I was. You know, we still had a lot of mental mistakes that I was very unhappy with. You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, if we get beat physically, that's one thing. You know, sometimes that happens. A guy may just be bigger or faster, and you know, you find a way around that. But when we're making mental mistakes, that's on us, and that's a lack of focus, and that's something that we've really got to clean up in all areas. But overall, I was pleased with our defense. I thought they flew around. We didn't have a lot of missed tackles, which I was very pleased with. We do tackling circuits every day, stressing the importance of not missing a tackle. The big thing was just, you know, for us, the mental aspect, missing some calls, missing some assignments, not understanding down and distance, not understanding situational football. And those are things that in our program we've been preaching since day one of myself and my staff's arrival, is just football knowledge and understanding how to play the game. I mean, if it's 4th and 13, you know, we got to find a way to get off the field. And we gave up a 4th and 13 the other night, which was a huge play. Understanding on 3rd and long, if a guy goes out of bounds, not hitting him late. And it was a hustle play, but, you know, we were trying to get to him. Good athlete had the ball. We were trying to get there. We hit him a little late, but instead of it being 4th and 7, they get a 1st down. It's the little aspects of the game like that that I was unhappy with our defense.
Wildcats are at Lookout Valley tomorrow night, two teams that love to run the football going at one another. We'll have the game for you live at ucsportsnation.com. Love these August Friday nights for football when there's just the hint of fall in the air. Going to be the case as we get set for week 2 of the high school football season tomorrow night. The high school playbook rolls on, presented by Mountain Barn Builders, as we bring aboard Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard.
But how are you looking to use Stockton Owen, you know, in your offense? He had a big night. That was his first start. Had one interception, but a lot of positives coming out of that game.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he had a tremendous game. I mean, the kid had 364 yards of total offense, and, you know, he ran the ball a lot. I think we had maybe 13 or 14 runs called, but we had some read plays, and then there was a few scrambles that he ended up having to run the ball a lot, and the kid took some really hard hits, and no doubt he's a tough kid and a heck of a competitor, but, you know, we'll use him. You know, we got to use his strengths. You know, he ended up having 200 something yards passing, 14 to 21, and which was a pretty good night on the passing side, and for about 205 yards. So that was a good night also. But he's that dual threat guy that's going to make plays, and we'll just continue to use him, you know, in that capacity.
Coach, on his first long touchdown run, talk about the vision he had to hit that backside B gap on that power read play. The guard pulls and he cuts it all the way back into that B gap, and he's out the gate down the sideline.
Yeah, it was just we got it blocked pretty well, and he was able to make a little bit of move on a linebacker or something that tried to fit it, and you know, just good vision. I mean, he has that ability, and that's what all good runners have. You know, I think that's what separates the good ones from the average ones is vision. You know, he has that vision, just like the McAllister kid at Upperman. He's got great vision. He's got those instincts, knows how to run the football, knows where those seams are. And, you know, that's something you can't teach. They just have that innate ability to be able to see where their holes are and hit those holes. And, you know, he has that ability.
Well, you have to move on this week to Livingston, and you'll be facing another dynamic quarterback on the other side of the ball. He's a lot different than McAllister and Stockton Owen, as he's going to more stay in the pocket and throw the ball, and he's got some talent outside to get the ball too. So how are you guys looking to defend Will McDonald and the Livingston Wildcats?
Well, you obviously know that he's going to complete balls, and he did last year. He completed a lot of balls, and you know, the biggest thing is we have to try to make sure that we don't give anything up over our head, that we make them get back in the huddle and you know, be patient. And then and hopefully sometimes you get some sacks and put them behind the chains a little bit. And obviously you got to make them one-dimensional. I mean, they do throw the ball well, but they also are very capable of running the football. And you know, we've got to try to, you know, some way make it one-dimensional. Either, you know, we got to be able to stop the run for sure. I think going into any game, you got to be able to stop the run, and we have to do that. And then hopefully in the passing game, as I said, don't give up anything. Don't give up any big play. Just make sure that we keep everything in front and you know, get some incompletions and get some sacks, get some pressure. You obviously got to get pressure. You can't let him stand back there, because he will pick you apart no matter how good your secondary is, because they do have very, very good receivers, good athletes on the outside, and a good offensive line. So, you know, we know it's going to be a tough game. We're going to have to really play well.
Maynard says his Cavaliers defense focused on making Livingston drive the football down the field and not giving up the big play. Cumberland County could not sustain the intensity with which they started the game last week against Scott County. 4 quarters of football, That's what Eric Belew wants to see tomorrow night.
Well, you know, it's definitely the best way imaginable to start a game. You know, we started with an intensity at the very beginning, you know, that really set the tone. But, you know, obviously with the result of the game, you know, we didn't maintain that intensity. But anytime you can start the first playoff with a game on your side with a big play is always a huge plus.
Coach, what made it so difficult moving the ball Friday night against Scott? They just really kind of locked you guys up.
Yeah, I think we just didn't match their intensity up front. You know, we have some big guys that can play up front. They just, you know, we didn't do a good enough job of demanding a better pad level and better feet. You know, if you just count the steps on the offensive side of the ball when we're on the field and then their defensive side of the ball, they were taking more steps than us. So, you know, that's one thing we've been emphasizing this week, you know, and ever since Friday. You know, we got to – if we want to move the ball, we got to have great feet and great pad level, and we got to want it more than we wanted it Friday. So that's definitely a huge focus for us now.
So speaking of your feet and pad level and moving the ball, what specifically are you getting into this week that you think is going to help you Friday night against White County?
Well, I think the first thing I noticed about White County when I looked at their defense is their guys up front. I mean, you know, they play hard. The only way you can compromise for guys that play hard or, you know, move the ball against them is you've got to match their intensity and take it to another level. And the way you match intensity is, you know, you have to work your feet. You don't want big strides. You want to have rapid feet. I tell the kids that we want their feet like pistons in a car engine. So that's what we're looking for. And, you know, with them being, you know, aggressive up front, you know, we're going to have to find a way because we're going to run the football. I'm not going to change, you know, what I do. I'm not going to do the offense of the week. We're going to get good at what we do. So we're going to try and run the football. We're going to do some things to get it in space, but we've got to be able to match their intensity up front.
Looking at your game last week, considering how long your defense played and the number of snaps they played, how did you think they held up overall? I mean, gave up 42 points, but they were on the field a whole lot.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one thing, you know, a lot of people don't take, like, if you're not moving the ball on offense, you know, we had one first down. You know, the defense is on the field for an extended period of time. And we did some good things on defense, but you could tell that they were getting gassed. And, you know, we tried to rotate in as much as we could. But, you know, when you're taking that many snaps, it's hard. And the type of offense, you know, Scott has a lateral offense. They like to get to the perimeter. So you're covering all the ground he's played. So that's one thing offensively we've got to do a better job is keeping our defense off the field. And, you know, our offense is set up to win time of possession. So that's, you know, one thing that we try to emphasize. You know, we got to be able to control the clock and control the amount of reps guys get by moving the ball on offense efficiently.
Lou says while the Jets have worked on White County, their focus right now is more about themselves. Kicking off the football weekend, we do it every Thursday night, 6 o'clock, here on News Talk 94.1. This is the High School Playbook. We're built by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad you're along. After a two-hour rain delay and postponing Thursday's game until Saturday, Adam Kane says the layoff benefited his Upperman Bees a week ago.
Just mentally, we were in it. We were sharp, had a lot of energy, and it pretty much carried over into Saturday night's game. I was a little worried Thursday because it just seemed like we were a little anxious and nervous and a little bit tired and lethargic. And so the extra day kind of, I think, helped us a little bit.
Well, Coach, it didn't take long for Donovan McAllister to put his stamp on the game with a pick six early. How did that get your sideline and your team just rocking and rolling early in that game?
It was a big play, and it was back and forth. I think they were moving the ball probably a little better than we were. So, you know, we needed something to pick us up. And, you know, he's our guy, and everybody looks to him to, you know, set the tone and make a play. And he knows that. And you know, he was able to do that. So it was big, and we got a little energy off of it, and seven big points.
Adam Kane says he has a great deal of respect for the DeKalb County Tigers. They will have Upperman's full attention tomorrow night. Although his team picked up a win Friday night, York Institute coach Derwin Wright says he wasn't pleased with how his secondary played against Jackson County.
We had a couple of guys just not reacting and playing the way they were supposed to. So honestly, we were lucky in that you know, Jackson County had a drop ball that had an overthrow on a wheel route that, that would have ended up in points. And so that's something we've got to really work on this week and get corrected.
When you look at the secondary and something like that, what is it you have to correct? Is it technique? Is it just focus? What is it you're looking at specifically?
Mainly technique things, you know, not being in a good back pedal, not having the nose over toes, not planting and getting up, you know, not seeing the ball thrown, and just a lot of fundamentals that, you know, if you're not executing, you're losing two or three steps on a break. You're not covering the timing routes. It just puts you, you know, steps behind in every pass.
Yeah. You're playing another hard-nosed team this week. How do you think you stack up against your week two opponent defensively?
Well, we're going to have to play extremely better than what we did last week defensively if we're going to stop Oneida. Oneida's got a very good running attack, a good offensive line, and you know, a group of about three guys back there running the ball, 21, 22, and number five. You know, so we've got to work cut out for us. We're going to have to do a much better job on the D line, and then in the secondary, we're going to have to do a much better job than what we did last week.
Wright says he's focused on Oneida's running back and offensive line ahead of their matchup tomorrow night. Wright says his defense must be better if they want to come out with a victory. The Jackson County Blue Devils fell short to York last week. While his team didn't get the win, head coach Sean Loftus says he liked the effort that he saw.
We competed, you know, and we had some kids step up and make some plays, and for four quarters, I mean, I thought that for the most part, I mean, everybody that stepped foot on the field, you know, competed and tried to do their job to the best of their abilities. And we saw some bright spots, and then then during the fourth quarter, you know, unfortunately we just didn't make the plays that we needed in order to pull out the win. We had a couple of drop balls in crucial situations on two third downs and then on a fourth down, and both of them would have converted and kept a drive alive. But first and foremost, you know, we competed for four quarters. I love the effort and attitude that the kids played with on Friday.
In a game like this, what more would you like to see out of your offense going forward?
I thought, you know, for the most part, I mean, we were pretty good up front. You know, we need to get a little bit more out of our running game. I thought we had some big runs called back due to holding penalties. You know, that's something that we've got to kind of clean up, is some of the mistakes that we made as far as like just minor mistakes, just reaching out and trying to grab somebody whenever we technically didn't have to. And so we're going to have to be able to run the ball better. And, you know, it wasn't that we ran the ball terribly, but going in, we kind of knew we thought that we would have an advantage in the passing game. And so when we got kind of hot, I guess, throwing the ball, we didn't necessarily run the ball as much, but we just got to be a little bit more balanced, I think, as far as like not necessarily in yardage, but as far as, you know, plays go, getting a little bit more runs mixed in and stuff.
Loftus says his team has to be patient and make plays when the moments arise as Jackson County takes on Sail Creek tomorrow night. Some Bobcats football, it's next as the high school playbook continues, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to get ready for the game at ucsportsnation.com. Pickett County earned a hard-fought win over Oakdale Friday, but not without a cost. The Bobcats lost their two starting running backs to injuries. Head coach Ray Reagan says they had a tough time adjusting from there.
Well, defensively, we've done some good things. I've got a new defensive coordinator this year, and I was really happy with the way he called the game and the way he set it up. We've done some good things there. Offensively, we lost two starters in the first quarter and kind of scrambled to put things together and made a lot of stupid mistakes, but we've worked on cleaning everything up this week, so maybe we'll have a better showing.
Has that new coordinator of yours installed any new schemes or anything, or is it just players buying in more this year?
No, we installed, he lost four of five starting lineman last year, and he installed a 3-4 based on we've got more speed than we got size, and we're just playing to speed. And I've worked with this guy in the past. He's an excellent coordinator, and it just seemed to all come together. They played well.
Sunbright in town tomorrow night. A lot of size up front for Ray Reagan and his Pickett County Bobcats. The Stone Memorial Panthers with a tough start to their season, losing to Grace Christian Academy last week. Head coach Derek Samber liked his team's physicality, though, in running the football.
We had 6 different drives go inside the 25 last week and didn't get points out of any of those 6 drives, which is unheard of for me. So, you know, we're young at the skill positions, but we've got to have somebody step up and just be a playmaker and step up in big moments and put points on the board for us. So, you know, I think that's one of the big pieces. I think we were physical up front, got pretty solid quarterback play. So from there, it's just about making plays and stepping up in big moments.
So with Caulfield coming in on Friday, what have you seen from them that you're going to have to game plan for this coming week?
Well, they're a tremendous football team. They're huge up front, senior heavy up front, getting probably their best athlete back in their number 2. He plays some quarterback and receiver both. Defensively, they're very sound, fly to the football. A couple good linebackers, good secondary play throughout, and those same offensive linemen that are big and physical up front flip over and play a lot of defensive line. So huge, huge challenge. Caulfield's always one of those teams that are playing late into November, and that's where we want to be. So this is going to be a big challenge for us.
More than worrying about the other team, Derek Samber says he needs his team to focus more on themselves as they get ready for tomorrow night's game. Week 2 for the Clay County Bulldogs presents a new slate of obstacles, defending the spread and an athletic quarterback, according to head coach Jake Johnson.
They like to throw it all over the yard. They've got a quarterback that's pretty good, a couple of pretty good receivers, and, you know, I feel like he's at his best whenever the play breaks down. I mean, the guy can scramble. He can pull something out of the hat and make it happen. And, you know, anytime somebody gets a little unconventional, if you will, it's definitely hard to defend a game plan against.
Coach, how hard is it, and you hit on a little bit, just to defend a quarterback who can extend a play like that after, you know, the framework of the play breaks down and he's just going to improvise on his own?
I mean, it's hard because, you know, it's impossible to simulate and get a look in that practice. The best you can do is study film and just try to keep him corralled and contained. And if he ever, you know, breaks loose, try to get on that hip. I mean, because he's hard to bring down as well. So, you know, he's a very talented young man.
And offensively, are you looking to attack Clinton County this week?
You know, and I guess it's kind of my signature thing, and as you kind of saw last week, is, you know, I'm ground and pound, and I'm play action. And, you know, we didn't incorporate as much play action usually as we would. You know, anytime you have 300 yards on the ground, it's kind of hard to get away from that. But, you know, everything is a run first offense. We're gonna stick to that. And, you know, if we have to, and I feel like we're good enough to win some battles on the perimeter and elsewhere, but it all starts with the run game.
Clay County pitching the shutout last week in week 1, rushing for over 300 yards. Should be a fun night of action. We'll have 4 games for you at ucsportsnation.com, including that Upperman-DeKalb County game. Log on to ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. We're back Saturday morning to wrap up everything that goes on across the Upper Cumberland tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on Rock 93.7. Hope you'll be with us.